afternoon. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. Book of Ephesians and chapter 6. And we are now ready for verse 16 in the armor of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. You understand we have on the belt of truth. As the scripture puts it, our loins are girded about, round about, encompassed with truth. We've put on the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we put on the sandals of peace, the shoes of peace, the sandals of peace. And this week we're taking the shield of faith. He says, above all, phrase really means overall, taking the shield of faith, not that the shield of faith is more in rank, more in preeminence, although the claim might could be made and rightfully made for faith. You must have faith or you don't have any of the other, you see. But the idea here is that we have on the belt, we have on the breastplate, we have our feet are shod, we have sandals on those feet, a good foundation for our body to stand upon. And now the shield is something that can add an extra layer of protection that stops those fiery darts from even getting to the breastplate, getting to the belt, getting to the feet. It's overall the shield. And remember last week we shared with you the accepted size of this shield, and I did some more research this week and I didn't find anyone that disagreed with this size. They all agree that this was the size of the shield back in that day. It was 4 foot long and 21 and a half inches wide. 21 and a half inches wide. I mean, generally the width of a man. 4 feet. You could hide behind it. You could get out of the way. It was a good protection. Where the idea and thought comes in is you've seen shields that were of about that size, maybe a little larger, on wheels. It seems as though this shield would have been something heavy, but you think of a soldier trained for battle and for combat, he's no weakling. But these shields were made out of wood. and they were thick in nature. And then they were overlaid with leather, so that they were like crocodile scales, some kind of tough leather that aided in the production. And when you think of that in regards to the fiery darts, they launched artillery with flames set to it, so it not only had the ability to pierce, but it also had the ability to burn along with it. But what we want to consider here is faith is as our shield. Faith is our shield. You must have faith. Without faith, there's no victory. Faith is our victory. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 5. And look with me what is recorded here in God's word for us. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that verse tells us a couple of things. He that is born of God has faith. When God born him again, he gave to him faith. And faith is said to be our victor, our victory. It is the faith that we have in God, the trust that we have in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives us the victory, even over Satan and his emissaries. Our faith is in God. It is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, and I want to, you may think this is a strange place to go, but concerning our faith being in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we also then have faith in what? God's Word. In the Bible. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11 says, through faith in God, and faith in God means faith in the Word of God, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Because we believe God, because we believe His Word, we believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We believe the whole book. It is God's Word to us. Now, faith is being fully persuaded that a thing is so, that it's true. Are we fully persuaded that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he paid your penalty, my penalty, on the cross of Calvary, suffering my condemnation for sin? Are we fully persuaded that what we read in the book we call the Bible, Are we fully persuaded that it is true, that it is God's word? What he wants us to know. What he wants us to know about himself, about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he wants us to know about what pleases him and what displeases him. Everything that displeases him is against him, is contrary to him. Are we fully persuaded that it is so? Give you an example. You're sitting on chairs today, and probably even a flimsier chair back there at the head of the table. But let me pose this to you. You're fully persuaded that that thing's going to hold you up, right? Or you're going to sit in it. If I walk into a room and I see a chair that's a little suspect, am I going to sit in that chair? No, I'm going to find another one that looks sturdy enough to hold me up. That's faith of a sort. We're talking about faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we fully persuaded that God is, and that God does what he says, and that what he says is truth? Are we fully persuaded so? Now, our consciousness of his presence, which he says he's with us, he says he's everywhere. Do you believe it? Are you persuaded that that is so? We don't have to fully understand it. But because God's word portrays him as a God that is ever present, everywhere, among all people, do we believe it? So our consciousness of his presence, because his word says it, it's his word, and because our faith is in God, we have faith in his word, we have faith in the veracity of his word. Being fully conscious that he's present is so great that God's presence is our shield. He's with me. As I face the battles, as I face the temptations, as I face those onslaughts of the enemy, he's with me. Does your faith lay hold of that? And who is God? He's the Almighty. He's the all-powerful. He's the sovereign. Nothing happens without his knowing or without his allowing of it. So he is our shield and our defender. You see, our faith lays hold of that. Our faith grasps that. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 15. In verse 1. And notice what he said to Abram. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Have you ever heard that? We have memorized a verse in Sunday school, Joshua 1:9. Joshua has just taken over the leadership of the children of Israel, and he's getting ready to lead them in the promised land. They're going to do battle. The enemy's in the land. They're going to do battle. God said to him, he said, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Did Joshua believe that? He sure did. He girded up his loins and he charged in and did what God commanded him to do. Leading the children of Israel. But the thing is, that was in Joshua's day. Well, let me ask you this, has God changed? Did God preserve that portion of Scripture in Joshua 1:9 for you and I to lay hold of and to lay claim to today? Well, it's preserved. We can read it there. God's word. Be strong. And of a good courage. Be not afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he said to Abram, fear not. Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, have faith, Abram. Trust me. If you trust me, you have no reason to fear. And I'm your exceeding great reward. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? We're going to be there probably a couple times. But Hebrews 11 again. In verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is what he says he is. Where do we find that at? In his word. And that he is a rewarder, exceeding great reward. Of them that diligently seek him. Seek him with all their heart. I mean, not just in the past, but continue to seek him today and continue to seek him. It's like what we saw this morning in the book of John in chapter 3. He doeth truth. He did truth, he does truth, and he continues to do truth, and he cometh to the light. He comes to the light, continues to come to the light, and keeps on coming to the light again and again and again and again. We keep coming to God. We keep seeking God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 30. In verse 5, Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. What does that mean? I always interpreted the word pure as it is in most other places in the Word of God. Clean. No impurity. That's not entirely the meaning here. Although that is true, the Word of God is clean. There's no impurity in it. The Word of God is a refiner. It is as a smelting pot for gold and for silver. Gold and silver is heated up to such a high heat that all the impurities, all the dross is burnt out of it. And that's what the Word of God is to you and I. It is a refiner. The fiery darts of the wicked one. It refines our faith in the Word of God, our faith in God, our faith in the Word of God. To refine us. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. You see, He's our shield. Our faith is to be in God. And that is a shield. That faith is said to be a shield because God is our shield. If we put our trust in Him. Do you trust Him? Oh, we trust Him. I have faith in God. But do we trust Him for every situation? Do we trust Him for the trials, for the temptations that come our way to give us the victory over those trials and those temptations? It shields us against false doctrine. And all the wiles of Satan. Think about that. Faith in God and His Word, that's God. Faith in His Word will shield us from false doctrine. Why? Because we'll be measuring everything that is said by the Word of God. We'll be measuring everything that is said and taught by God. So, we can defeat the fiery darts. We can ward off the fiery darts of the wicked one. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 84. In verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun. What's that mean? Well, that means He's as the sun. He is in brilliance. God is brilliant. God is light. How brilliant is He? Well, you turn back to the book of Revelation in the 21st chapter, and you see how brilliant He is. He's so brilliant that there's going to be no need of the sun and the stars. Because He's the light of the city. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the light of the city. So He is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Have you experienced that? Oh, He gives us grace. He gives us grace. If we look to Him, He'll give us grace to go through the trials of life. I've experienced it. Experienced it on me several times. Numerous times in my life. Grace and glory. no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And who is it that walks uprightly? It's the true believer. It's the ones that have believed in him. They're in Christ, and therefore they walk uprightly, and no good thing will he withhold from them. Turn with me to the book of James. And I think I've got this verse right in my mind. James chapter 1. And I think it's verse 17, yeah. James 1, 17. In verse 16, he tells us, do not err. Just before that, he said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so he's talking about the desires and passions of the flesh. We lust, some lust after them. He said, do not err and lust after that, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So back there in Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11, he said, grace and glory he will give us. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, it is from our Heavenly Father that these good things come from us. Grace and glory come from him to us. His person, his blood, his righteousness, his sacrifice opposes all the charges and objections of Satan. You know, this about reads like Ezekiel chapter 16, doesn't it? Think about Ezekiel chapter 16. He rehearses with Jerusalem all the good that he did for them. The condition they were in, and when he came upon them with his love and compassion, and now he beautifies them, and he enters into covenant with them. He lavishes them with jewels and ornaments of gold and silver, oil and incense. We've got every reason to trust God, to obey God. Think about that. Think about the person of Jesus Christ. Think about the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Think about his sacrifice. Oh, and all of that opposed. He defeated Satan when he rose again from the grave. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 33. In verse 20. Psalms 33 and verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Listen, there's where our expectation should be. Don't let the battle cause you to lose sight of what you're looking for. You're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. Amen. Back to the 84th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 84. And look with me at verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Listen, we're to behold God, our shield. We're to look upon the face of his anointed. We're to be looking for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember Mom laying there on her deathbed and saying, I just want to go see my Lord and Savior. It wasn't, I want to go see your dad. I want to go see JR. I want to go see my Lord and Savior. That was her longing. And that was her desire. Chapter 34 of the book of Psalms. I know we're jumping around here in Psalms, but this is the way I felt led to look at these scriptures in verse 22. Psalms 34 and verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just love singing that song, Redeem. My Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Those three songs, you can't beat them, I don't think. That's, our faith lies in the fact that we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed at the hand of the blessed Savior. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Faith is our victory. Faith is our shield. God's our shield, but our faith is in God. You see. Turn with me back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I told you we'd be back here again. This is a blessed verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is what he says he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, or of them who are diligently seeking him. Praise God. I'm glad to have that assurance. And one more verse in closing. Isaiah, in this verse, has been a blessed verse to me ever since the Lord showed it to me. Isaiah chapter 26, in verses 3 and 4. We can take this to the bank. We can be assured of this. We can be assured of the victory. It is our shield. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, trust in the Lord. Trust in him so much that your mind is stayed upon him. It's grounded upon him. It's steadfast upon him. You trust him in all of life. You trust him in every situation. You trust him when things are going good. You trust him when things are not going so good to this flesh. Because it's God's providence. And if there are the onslaughts of the wicked one, he'll give you the victory. Through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll look at the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation in verse 17. Shall we stand together?